Well, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, today we are in healing school, and we're going to be looking at 43 Reasons for Affirming the Word of God, Part 1. So we're going to cover 20 of these today. You know, this is healing school, but it's really more than healing school. This is really a school of the Holy Spirit. It's a school of preparation for us learning how to walk by the Word of God and by the power of the Spirit and the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We are not just giving you a bunch of principles so you can get your healing, although that's what happens, but we are giving you insights in how to live a Christian life, what one might call a normal Christian life, what the church world calls a normal Christian life isn't anything like what the Bible says is a normal Christian life. And we want to live the biblical standard of a normal Christian life in the power of the Holy Spirit, knowing who we are in Christ, and receiving and walking in all of the wonderful benefits that He has for us to walk in the fullness of our salvation package, like we talked about last week, to walk in the uttermost of everything that Jesus has for us. Every benefit of this new covenant that we're living in, every promise of the Word of God, every blessing that Jesus has promised us. He said in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, that He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. It is already ours. Our part is to partner with God and learn how to walk in them, to bring them from the unseen to the seen, to bring them from the spiritual into the physical, to see them come from our spirit within us, who we are in Christ, to be lived out in our lives. We do that by partnering with God, which is very much involved with walking then by faith, believing what He has said and walking in it. And one of the key ways of doing that in our lives is with the words of our mouth. With the words of our mouth. So we want to talk today about the words of our mouth, in particular about affirmations, which we learned about, it seems like, months ago. Actually, I guess it was. At the first part of January, we learned about the prayer of affirmation and speaking forth the Word of God, declaring it over our lives. And we want to continue with that a little bit more and talking about the reasons why we affirm the Word of God. Why is it so important that we be speakers of the Word? Let's look at the overview. Affirming the Word of God over your life releases the power of God to bring about the desired changes. Whatever challenge that you face, whatever obstacle that you need to overcome, whatever sin that you need to conquer, use the Word of God coming out of your mouth to be victorious. See, everything is subject to change. no matter what it is. There is nothing that is impossible. That almost sounds like a scripture, doesn't it? Right? To those of us who believe, there is nothing that is impossible. Everything is possible. With God, everything is possible. And with Him, nothing is impossible. So everything is subject to change. And one of the ways that that change happens is by us proclaiming it, speaking the Word of God. Everything is subject to change when the Word of God is proclaimed. And Titus 3:8 admonishes us to affirm the Word, the good things of the Word, to affirm the Word constantly should be part of and a habit of our life. Let's just talk for a few minutes about the power of the spoken Word. Deuteronomy 30:19 tells us that we are to choose life and not death, blessing and not cursing. He says, "Today I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose. Choose this day what you will choose." And then he gives us a hint. You know, those people that got caught in that scam with the SAT wish they had had this, and that is, God says, this multiple choice, life or death, God says, choose life. Choose life. So, the way we do that, the way we are one very specific way that we choose that is with the words of our mouth. Matter of fact, Proverbs 18:21 says, life and death, actually I guess what it says is death and life, to put it in the right order, death and life are in the power of the tongue. So we want to choose life, we want to choose blessing by the words that we speak, which means we have to be careful about other words. Because if we want life and blessing, all of our words have to conform to that. We can't just speak life and blessing when we want something good to happen in our lives. We're looking for healing or for financial prosperity or whatever. We don't just speak the good things of God's word then. We also have to be speaking it all the time. In other words, stop speaking things that are negative. Stop speaking death and curses into your life. The word says in Proverbs 15, verse 4, that the tongue is a tree of life. In the Amplified, it says, a gentle tongue with its healing power is a tree of life. We want life. So when we use our tongue to speak life, to speak healing into our life, it comes about. Because Mark 11:23 says, right, say to the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and don't doubt in your heart, but believe that the things that you say shall come to pass, and you will have whatsoever you say. Shall have what we say. Whether it's good or whether it's bad, whether it's a blessing or a curse, you're going to have what you're going to what you say. So watch what you say. He who has ears to hear, hear. Our tongue controls the direction of our life. James 3, I'm going to read some of those verses there. For in many things we offend all. If a man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body. Then he talks about putting equating the tongue with bits put in horses' mouths with rudders on ships. In other words, a small member that controls the horse, controls the ship. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. We think it's just our words. I didn't really mean it. But you know what? Because we've spoken it, it's out there. It sets a direction for our life. Verse 6 of James 3. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, and it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. So the evil one plays a part in the things that our tongue speaks, puts thoughts into our minds. We need to be one that learns how to control our minds and also control then the tongue. You don't have to speak every single thing that comes into your mind. One of the ways of overcoming that is with the heart, because the Word tells us that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So as we fill the Word of God, renewing our minds in our head, but then as we act on them, we get them into our heart. We begin to believe them, to have them become part of our core value system. And when the Word of God is in our heart, it's hard for the mind to override that. And so therefore, what's in our heart is what then gets expressed through our tongue. There was one instance where a pastor was trying to get me to say something. It was a part of an illustration here at the church years ago. And it had to do with me shaving my beard off. And that is such a part of who I am, I just couldn't get the words out. Because I am not going to shave my beard. I've had this beard for almost 45 years, and it ain't going nowhere. So, but see, because it was in my heart, I couldn't say it. Because if the Word of God is in your heart, not that that was a Word of God, but it's the illustration I'm using. But if the Word of God is in your heart, then no matter what goes through your mind or what even the symptoms of your body, you're going to go to the default, which is your heart, and speak those things. So if you know that you have been healed by the stripes of Jesus, and you know that you know that you know, then when a challenge comes, you're not going to think, oh my gosh, maybe I better call the doctor. No, you're going to think, wait a second. I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. This is just an attack of the devil, and we stop it right there. Because it comes out of our heart. 20 reasons for affirming the Word of God, and we'll pick up, like I said earlier, the other 23 next time. First of all, let me make a couple of comments about affirmations in general. First of all, affirmations are not a magic formula. They're not just magic words that we say. Well, if we say it 50 times, it's going to happen. No, that's not what we're trying to communicate. Because affirmations is something that comes out of faith. It's part of an act of faith. We believe what God's Word says, so we act on it and we speak it. And speaking can be very much an expression of our faith. So when we speak the Word of God, when we do affirmations, it's not like, well, the pastor said if I do 50 of them, I'll get my healing. And so we quickly do 50. Is it there yet? Do I have it? No. Affirmations is expressing out of our faith, out of our heart, what God has promised us. That's why in number one there, affirmations is the affirming of your faith through thanksgiving. We've prayed the prayer of Mark 11:24. Whatsoever things we desire to see that healing that Jesus promised for us. So we pray. We express verbally with our words, Father, you say, I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. So this challenge in my knee, I thank you, Father, that it has been healed. And I thank you, Father, that I walk in that healing. So we've prayed, we've expressed to God our prayer for healing. And then it goes on, it says, remember the third, we're not going to have another quiz today, but I'm just trying to re-emphasize that the third condition is then to believe that you receive when you prayed. So now I'm at that point of believing that it happened, that when I prayed it, it happened. So what is the normal response to that? Thank you, Jesus. And so affirmations is thanking him. It is expressing our faith by saying, thank you, Jesus, that I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. And so we're expressing our thanksgiving to him. Philippians 4:6 says, don't worry about anything. Don't be anxious for anything, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Really, Philippians 4:6 is just another way of restating Mark 11:24. So we affirm our faith through affirming with thanksgiving. Number two, releasing the anointing of God. When we affirm the Word of God, we're releasing the anointing that is in us. Mark 16:18. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So out of the belief, we speak. We are doing things. There are signs that we believe. We cast out devils. It takes words to cast out devils. We speak in new tongues. We lay hands on the sick. Again, it's speaking out. And when we do that, the power of God is there. The anointing of God is there to confirm it. The Holy Spirit confirms the speaking of the word. Going on in Mark chapter 16, verse 20, it says this, and they went forth, talking about the disciples, they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. So we see as they spoke the word that the Holy Spirit was there confirming it. Now what's interesting, and this is a little lesson in Bible understanding, biblical understanding, as you're reading the word, especially if you're reading the King James. If you're reading the King James, you'll see that in a lot of verses, there'll be a word or two that are italicized. What that means is that they were added by the translator to help it make sense in the English. So there really wasn't a Greek word that said that. It just, they added it to help the verse make sense. Instead of it just being a literal translation, they help it to become more in the vernacular. So in this particular verse, it says, the Lord working with them. The word them was one of those words that were added. And what's interesting is if you read it without the them, kind of gives you a different understanding of the Lord working. It says, and the Lord working with and confirming the word with signs following. So it was their speaking, because they're speaking the gospel, they're speaking the word, but you get a better understanding. It says, the Lord working with and confirming the word with signs following. I suggest that when you're reading the word and you see that, try reading it without those words that are italicized, and see if the Lord gives you some revelation and insight. Because in a lot of verses, it really helps to get a little bit different understanding, a little bit different slant on it. So, okay, going on. The anointing of God destroys the yoke. So as we are speaking and releasing the word of God out of our mouth and releasing then the anointing, it breaks, destroys the yoke. If you've got a yoke of sickness, disease, infirmity on you, then the anointing that you're speaking will help to break that. The anointing is released when the word is spoken. In Luke chapter 5, verse 17, it says that Jesus was in a house and he was speaking. He was ministering the word, speaking about the kingdom, because that's what Jesus did. He spoke about the kingdom. And it said that there were Pharisees there and teachers of the law. And then it says the power of the Lord was there to heal. So Jesus was speaking the word about the kingdom, which includes all the aspects of the kingdom. Salvation to go to heaven, the kingdom of heaven that he was ministering to them about. The kingdom brings healing and wholeness, raises the dead, all these things that the kingdom does. When the kingdom is present, the presence of God, says, and the power of God was there to heal. So when we're speaking the word of God, the power of God is there to bring about what we're speaking. The anointing, the rivers of living water flows out of us. John 7:37 says that on that great day of the feast, the last day of the feast, he stood up and said, if any man thirst, let him drink of me. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So it releases, speaking the word of God releases the anointing out of us to do its work. Using the sword of the Spirit in warfare. Ephesians 6:17 tells us that we are to put on the full armor of God, of course, but verse 17 specifically talks about, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So we take up the sword of the Spirit. Well, what do we do with that sword of the Spirit? We use it in warfare, to attack. Scripture tells us in Hebrews 4:12, that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, and able to pierce to the division of soul and spirit, to the dividing of, it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So the word of God is a two-edged sword, which means that it works whether you're doing it this way or whether you're going this way. So you just keep speaking the word and speaking the word, and it attacks and destroys the evil one. You can use it on inanimate challenges, you know, mountains. Speak to the mountain, say to the mountain. So you can use the sword against inanimate objects. So it might be, you know, financial challenges in your life. You need a job or something like that, you're speaking the word of God over that, moves those inanimate objects. But the word also is like a scalpel, and that is works on animate objects that you can curse, such as Jesus did when he cursed the fig tree. He spoke the word to that fig tree, cursed it, and it died. If we speak to animate challenges in our life, say someone has a challenge with cancer, you speak to the cancer cells, and you command them to die. Germs and viruses and microorganisms and bacteria and all these things, we can speak to them and they must die, because the Word of God is powerful in those ways. We use the Word of God like a battering ram. Now remember last week we were talking about the stance, the stand therefore against all the wiles of the evil one and withstand it, to stand. We talked about that stance. Well, the person that's got that stance, when you are ready for battle, you've also got your weapon, the sword of the Spirit. And you use that weapon over and over and over again to destroy what the evil one is trying to bring into your life, like the battering ram that Sarah so dramatically showed us when she talked about affirmations back in Module 6. In Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 29, it says, "Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rocks in pieces?" So we keep using the Word of God, pounding, pounding, pounding. Now, I don't know if you've ever used trying to break up some concrete with a sledgehammer, but the first time you hit it, very often nothing happens. You hit it again, and still looks like nothing's happening. You keep on hitting it, and finally begin to see cracks appear. And when those cracks appear, then you can really go after it and see it come to naught. I want to introduce to you a couple of really good friends of mine. I love these guys. In 2 Samuel chapter 23, there is a man named Eleazar, one of David's mighty men, one of the top three mighty men of God. Now, before I talk about him, I want to talk about another good friend of mine, and that is Caleb. Remember Caleb? Caleb and Joshua? After they had gone into the promised land, now remember Caleb was one of the two with Joshua that went into the promised land. They were there at the beginning. They believed God there at Kadesh Barnea, that God had said he'll give them the land. And so Caleb was one of those. So they had been taking the promised land. They'd been working on it for 5 years. So this was 5 years into it. And there was a mountain that they came to. And when they had spied out the land some 45 years earlier, it was in that mountain that they saw the giants. And that really incited and excited Caleb when he had seen that 45 years before. And it was time for them to take that land. And so Caleb came to Joshua. He said, "Joshua, when Moses promised me an inheritance in this land," he said, "I know what I wanted." He said, "It's been 45 years. He was 40 at the time. He said, "It's been 45 years. And matter of fact, today is my 85th birthday. And I want that mountain. I want that mountain with those giants." I mean, what an attitude. And so he, with sword in hand, went with his men and took that mountain. I love that guy. Okay, now let's go back to Eleazar. I'm going to start in verse 9 of 2 Samuel chapter 23. And after him, he had talked about another man. Matter of fact, let's just read that. Starting verse 8. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Tachmonite that sat in the seat and chief among the captains. The same was Adino the Esmite. He lifted up his spear against 800 that he slew at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo. Now, one would not normally, in this day and age, in this culture, name their child Dodo. But it's not a bad word. Because the word in Hebrew means loving. So his mother gave him the name Loving. Anyway, Dodo the Ahoite, one of the three mighty men with David, so we're talking about Eleazar, when they had defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel had gone away. So what had happened, he was with a group of other fighters from Israel, and for some reason they had left. Maybe they left the area to go take a break, to get a breather, to go get some food and water. I don't know what. But Eleazar was left there by himself, and a band of Philistines came upon him. Verse 10, and he arose, and he smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him. So now the Israelites that had left now come back, and all they came back to was spoil, because everyone was dead, and they could go and take the spoil. But look at this guy. He fought those Philistines till his hand was weary and his hand clave to the sword. You know what that means? Have you ever worked really hard in the garden, like with a pick, or a shovel, and you're not letting go, and you're just going and going and going after it. And after a while, your hand, you go to open your hand and it won't open. It's clave to the handle. And you have to peel your fingers open because they're just so, the muscles have just so tightened around that object. So that's what it was like with Eleazar, which tells me that he was not in any way given up. And sometimes we have to be like that for our healing and speaking affirmations. We have to go after it. We have to speak the word of God over and over and over and over and over and over until God wrought a great victory in our lives. There was a woman who was part of our church, and she was a nurse. And at the hospital she worked at, there was an outbreak of scabies, a virulent form of scabies. So the hospital offered to the employees some medication to take to do that, which if you look at that, the effects of the medication, the side effects, it was really long and not something you want to be part of. So this woman said, nope, I'm not taking those. She went home and she was experiencing the symptoms of scabies. So she did like 60 affirmations that she had been healed by the stripes of Jesus, and all the symptoms went away. Great, praise the Lord. Well, the next morning she woke up, and all the symptoms were back again. She said, not getting away with it. She did that day 6,000 affirmations. She was being like Eleazar, chopping and thrusting and paring and doing everything with that sword, with that word of God, 6,000 times. And the symptoms left and never came back. For most of those employees, it would take could take anywhere up to 6 months with that medication for those symptoms to leave. Speaking what you desire into existence, that is, choosing to live by spiritual laws and not by the physical reality of what you see. So you are speaking what you desire, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So we speak those things, those spiritual laws, into being, into our lives. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When we have evidence of what evidence in our spirit of what God has done, that we've been healed by the stripes of Jesus, then we have confidence that as we speak the word of God out of our belief, out of our believing, then we know that those things shall come to pass. It's evidence. It's not a hope for. It's not, gee, I hope it works. It's evidence. I know it. The evidence all lines up and points to this, that I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Calling things that be not as though they were. Romans 4:17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. So we're calling those things that be not, the things we're not seeing, we're calling them as though they were, until they are, until they show up. We are using the unseen to change that which is seen. 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we look not at things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So we're speaking forth and calling forth the unseen, our healing, to overtake what we see, the challenge in our body. Using the things that are not to change that which is, 1 Corinthians 1:28. And the base things of this world and the things which are despised has God chosen, and things which are not to bring to naught, N-O-U-G-H-T, to bring to naught those things that are. So we use what we don't see but we know is real, and we overcome those things that are trying to be in our lives. Now, before we go on, let me share a couple of things, clarifications about affirmations, about how we develop them and how you use them. First of all, very, very important, never use the challenge that you're experiencing as part of your affirmation. What I mean by that, let's say someone was diagnosed with diabetes. So one would never say, my diabetes has been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Because now you've just, for one thing, you've claimed it to yourself. Right? My whatever. You don't want to do that. You deal with the part of the body or the symptom that you're dealing with. Don't deal with the actual challenge. So, for example, like let's say you're being challenged with blood pressure issues. So you don't say, my high blood pressure, blah, 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 has been healed by the stripes of Jesus. No, you say, my blood pressure has been healed by the stripes of Jesus, or my blood pressure is normal in the name of Jesus. Or you could say, let's say it's currently at 160 over 80 and you want it to be 120 over 60, you could say something like, or you could either say my blood pressure is 120 over 60, or you could incrementally bring it down. If it's 160, then go to 150 and go to 140 and 130 until you get it down to 120. But you never say, again, my high blood pressure. So you speak to the part of the body, my knee has been healed. Maybe if you're dealing with high blood pressure, sugar issues, it may be my pancreas has been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Although sometimes it's not the pancreas per se that's the challenge, which is also why you always use the regular, I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus, in conjunction with my knee has been healed by the stripes of Jesus. The other thing to watch out for, don't self-diagnose. Right? If you've got a pain in your stomach, don't start dealing with, well, what in the world could it be? It doesn't really matter what it might be. What you need to do then is just say, my stomach has been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Or, in the name of Jesus, all pain must go. Something to that effect. The other thing is, sometimes people, they've got several different challenges they're dealing with, and so they'll try to lump them all together. And they'll say, my eyes and ears and stomach and teeth and knees and feet have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. And so it's like, well, that's a lot easier just to do it, get it over with all at once, right? But for one thing, it's hard to memorize all those things all in one big affirmation. Plus, it's just not very effective, because you need to focus your faith and focus your words. So you might combine some like things, like my heart and cardiovascular system have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. My lungs and my breathing have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. You might do some things like that, where you combine like things together. My ear, nose, and throat, if you're dealing with some symptoms of flu or whatever, my ear, nose, and throat have been healed by the stripes of Jesus, because you're focusing on one particular thing. So it would be better to have 10 different affirmations on 10 different issues that you're dealing with than to have one affirmation of for all 10. You understand what I'm saying? So, but whatever we need to speak to those things, call them forth like we're talking about, and see the power of God and our warfare and standing on the Word of God bring about the resolution and the healing that we're believing for, the manifestation of it. Number 16, releasing the creative power of God's Word. In Genesis chapter 1, 10 times God said, "Let there be." And in every instance, there was. In the Hebrew, all it says, thinking about the first one, about light, all it says in the Hebrew is, light be. Light was. And so all we need to do is just call it forth. When we say whatever it is that we're believing for, we say it, we expect it right there to be done. That's what God did. He said it, it was done. He said it, it was done. So like I spoke about the other day, the importance of us standing in expectation all the time that things are going to happen. We release the creative power of God when we speak and we expect it to happen. Number 17, the power of God in salvation. What's talking about there is the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Remember last week we talked about salvation, about our salvation package, and about every part of our salvation package. We've got healing and health and wholeness, but we've also got protection and deliverance and well-being, all these things prosperity are all part of our salvation package. So when we speak the Word of God, the power of the gospel, which is speaking all the benefits of God, when we minister the power of the gospel, then the power of God for everything we need is ours. Hebrews 1:3, all things are upheld by the power, by the word of his power. And the same thing is true with us. When we speak the word of God, it brings about what we need in our lives. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Remember when Jesus, no, it's the name of Jesus and the authority of that name, that when we speak the name of Jesus, then every knee must bow. Every name that is named must bow, because it's the name of Jesus. So when we do our affirmations, I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus, we're using the name of Jesus. When we say, in the name of Jesus, I have the mind of Christ. In the name of Jesus, I am healthy, healed, and whole. Whatever kind of affirmation you might be using, when it uses the name of Jesus, it invokes the power, and every knee must bow. Every name must come into compliance. One lady was diagnosed with an inoperable tumor behind her heart. And so pastor was ministering to her and gave her some affirmations to do about her heart and her lungs, because it was kind of, you know, back in that area, but it was inoperable. And so she began to do affirmations, about 600 a day, for her heart and lungs. And in about 2 months or so, she went back to the doctor. The doctor re-examined and said, wow, things have changed. That tumor is now operable. We can get it out of there. And so that's what happened. Then she had surgery, and it was removed, and she was healed. But see, as she spoke the word of God, the things that were unseen, her healing, became seen, so that now the doctor could do what he needed to do. Number 20, allowing Jesus to act as the high priest. In Hebrews 3, verse 1, it says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the divine calling, consider the apostle and the high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. So he is, Jesus is the high priest of our confession, of our profession. And what that means by that he is the high priest, another way of translating that word would be administrator. So when we speak the word, when we confess the word, profess it out of our mouth, then he, then as the administrator of our profession, then administrates it and makes sure that it is carried out. So he is the high priest, the administrator of our profession. In Hebrews 4:14, it says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus Christ, let us hold fast our profession or our confession of faith. He is the administrator of our profession. So those are the 20 of the 43. So, like I said, next time we'll be looking at the other 23. Okay, in your packet there, you have an affirmation log. Now, for some of you, you may remember this from years ago in in healing school. It may be something that you would like to put back into your lifestyle. For those of you who are new, you may find this very helpful. It's got a place for four affirmations. You write out what the affirmation is, or write out the scripture that will remind you about the affirmation. And then there's 36 squares for each affirmation where you can put in the date and the quantity. The date and the quantity in those little squares, and keep track of your affirmations. So it's kind of like sometimes it's like, well, did I do my affirmations yesterday? Well, wait a second. How many did I do? And so anyway, if you have a log, it's helpful. Now, for those of you that are new, I gave you two of them. One is so that you can start using it, and the other one is so you can make copies. Because if you're like a lot of us, four is not enough. And as you work through this over the years, over the months, you'll see that you'll need to make more of those. So I wanted to bring that to your attention. Now, for those of you who were new last week, I'm sorry, two weeks ago. For those of you who are new, in the homework, there was an assignment that you may not have really understood. I wanted to express it to you, about tell you what it's about, and then also I wanted to let everybody else know about it so that you can be prepared for it as well, which is going to happen next Sunday, March 24th. What the assignment was to write out and bring to class with you on Sunday, March 24th, a list of curses and sins related to people who have offended you, issues of unforgiveness. And it had possible high categories and then details within each category. So this is kind of jumping off of what Pastor James taught about that prayer of breaking curses. What we want to do is to teach you and help you to refine that the whole process of breaking curses in your life, breaking the curses and the power of sin in your life. So you may have some people in your life that you have been offended at, that you have had unforgiveness towards, and maybe over the last couple weeks through some of the things that pastors has taught, you have forgiven them. You've gone through that process of forgiving them. But remember that sin is more than just dealing with the fellowship with God, because we've, you know, confessed our sin of unforgiveness towards that person, forgiven them. But we also need to go further than that. We need to deal with the spiritual aspects behind it, the demonic strongholds that those sin patterns can create into our lives. And so that's what this process is of writing these curses. So even though you may have forgiven person A, go ahead and put them on the list. Okay? Now notice that I have on here high-level categories and details within each category. Because the more detailed that you can get, the better off that it is. So for the high level, it may be things like, you know, your spouse, your boss, your, you know, fellow employee, a church member, a pastor, that you're offended at. So that's one aspect. So you just put a name. But what is helpful is, now what exactly was it about? What was the specific incident? So details within each category. It's offended when my coworker criticized my work. I was offended last year when my daughter didn't call me for my birthday. Or when the pastor didn't say hello last Sunday. Or my husband criticized me in public 10 years ago. Or it could have been the wife. Or it could have been longer, or it could have been sooner. So look at not only the person, but what exactly was it that you were offended about? Because that helps to pinpoint some of the sin issues maybe in you, some of the pride, the impatience, different things like that that you could have been involved in that. In other words, what they did was not that bad, but I really took offense at it because that is just not the way that people treat me. Right? Pride. Or I had to get that project done and they were dragging their feet and I'm really upset at them because it got me behind. Right? Impatience. So sometimes we get into those issues because of us, not because of them. But yet we get offended and have unforgiveness towards them. So anyway, that's the one thing I wanted to point out. So that'll be for next Sunday. So bring those lists next Sunday, and we'll be dealing with forgiveness and breaking those curses. Okay, one more thing. This is not a quiz. But we do need to get these passed out. So, Penn, if you could do those, and then someone from the other room, if you could grab some here and pass them out. Those of you on the internet, you had these attached to the end of your documents there. Sorry there were so many pages. I know 11 pages of documents today. So forgive us for that. But it's all helpful stuff for us. Okay, so thank you, ladies, and my love. All right. This is called Diagnostics on the Physical Health of a Christian. And so this is a form that we would like for you to fill out, to score, and then to bring it back in a couple of weeks on the 31st. And it's in your homework assignments, but those of you that have done this before, it would be really good for you to do it again. A lot of time has passed since we have done this before, so I would encourage everyone to take a look at this and plan on doing it. It's a list of a bunch of different activities in a typical day that you might be involved in spiritually. And so what we want you to do is to fill this out according to the instructions there. I'm going to read those instructions at the top of the page. Please answer all 38 questions by placing a check mark for each line item. Check always, this is important, check always only if it was and is your intention to do it every day and you hardly ever miss a day. Perhaps hardly ever might mean missing once a month. So if it's your habit to pray Psalm 91 every single day, but you know, last Monday the alarm didn't go off, and the cat didn't jump on you to wake you up, or the dog didn't lick your face, and you overslept and you just had to get up and go. You know, but that only happens, you know, once a month or once every few months. I mean, and you can look back and say, well, that's not always. Well, we're kind of mediating that a little bit with hardly ever. So, and the last line there, after completing this page, go on to the next page for the scoring instructions. So if you'll turn to the next page, you'll see there, it's the same list, but with some numbers and stuff to do with it. So after you finish the first page, then transfer your answers from the first page onto the second page. And then you'll see that there are scoring things there. You add up all the check marks, multiply it by the numbers that are given there, and then come up with a total for each section and a grand total. Since you have a couple of weeks to work on this, if you're having some challenges with it, don't understand how to score it, it's just not making sense, because we've got a couple of weeks, you know, catch me on a Friday or next Sunday or something and say, hey, you know, I'm not quite understanding this. Can you explain it to me? I would love to do that. Okay, now let's go to the third page in your little packet there. Health Diagnostics Matrix. Need to fill this out as well, about how would the doctor rate your health, how many times you've been sick in the last year. And the very last one is also important. Is this your first time in ABC Healing School Semester 1, yes or no? So make sure you mark that. So this helps us and gives us some vital information. And when you bring it back on the 31st, we'll also discuss what that information tells you about yourself and tells us as well. Now, if you don't want us to know who you are, that's fine. Notice at the top there, it says your name or a code. So if you don't want to give your name, you don't have to, but you could put a code up there. You know, A4567, something like that. The key is make sure that all three pages have that code on it so that we know they all go together, okay? I mean, if you leave them stapled, that's fine. If you unstaple them, make sure that they all have the same code on it so that we know that they all belong together. And you will be turning in the whole packet, the front page, the scoring page, and the back page as well. So if you want a copy of it, you know, you'll be responsible to make a copy for yourself. Okay, I think that about does it. Keep speaking the Word of God. Amen. Over your life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this privilege of coming to your table. We thank you for this broken body. You allowed your body to be broken so ours could be made whole. We thank you that we've been healed by the stripes of Jesus because of those 39 stripes that you took upon your body. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you. We can never thank you enough. We remember what you've done for us, and we partake together now to receive our wholeness. In Jesus' name. And in the same manner, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for remission from sins. This do in remembrance of me." We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the life that is in the blood. The Zoe life of Jesus Christ is in this blood. Life everlasting. Life that overcomes death. Life that enables us to be alive and remain when Jesus returns. Thank you, Jesus, for this great life and the great covenant with which your blood paid the price. And it belongs to us now. And we thank you. We love you. And we partake together of this precious cup of blessing. It's a very precious cup of life, in Jesus' name.